for business that were considered included three types of systems. We recommend that the new recycling requirements for businesses be provided in the current competitive system, the open market system, if you will. Businesses would continue to choose their hauler, negotiate prices, and customize collection services. The over 50 private hauling companies will continue serving the business community and will track the progress made over the next 2 years. If businesses have not reached the 68% recycling goal by 2010, we recommend that you reconsider some of the other options, either the rate setting or franchising approaches. I want to step through briefly how we intend to phase in some of the enforcement of the new recycling requirements, because there's been some concern raised lately about this approach. During the first year, the city will work with businesses to let them know about the new requirements and what they can do to improve recycling systems. We will offer assistance to make sure that they have the information needed to succeed and expand their programs. Later that year, we'll check in with some of the largest businesses, asking them to show us how they're recycling their food scraps, paper, or construction waste. Starting in 2009, we may have to take enforcement actions against businesses that refuse to recycle, including penalties if necessary. Now, that's not how we're going to walk in the door, emphasizing the penalties, but we will work with the largest sources of food, construction, and paper waste to ensure they're doing a good job. Only those companies that actually refuse to be involved to make a good faith effort to improve their practices would receive a penalty. Examples. They won't recycle. They won't even start a food waste program. They're still dumping large amounts of paper in the trash, say, from an office building. Or they're doing large construction projects and are still choosing to dump construction waste materials in the trash instead of recycling. Again, if these steps fail to bring the business sector up to the 68% recycling by 2010, we would recommend that you reconsider some of the other options of how the entire system is managed. Of course, we're going to continue to work with our haulers. We want to make sure that they can offer every business customer a service package that will help the local businesses recycle more and meet the 75% goal. We'll expand the use of biodiesel, the B20, that the residential fleet has switched to earlier this year. We're proposing next year that the entire fleet, the commercial haulers, also use B20. And we're working with Metro to develop a funding mechanism to develop emission control filters that would capture more of the tailpipe pollution for both residential and commercial trucks and put that into the system. Finally, we'll have a higher goal for what we can do in city government. We need to walk the talk, as your offices have all been recognized with the Blue Works Recycling Award. We need to spread that throughout the bureaus and meet so we can make sure that we meet and exceed all the requirements for paper, food, and construction waste. We'll set a higher goal for recycling in the city of 85%. We'll develop waste prevention targets and work with dedicated staff to form cross-bureau teams to develop the program within city facilities. The next steps we have for you after today's hearing is to return to council with any code changes that would put into action our plans, and we would look to begin implementation of our program next year in 2008. Thank you.
Thank you. Any open for questions? We have a couple of invited panels.
I have some questions. Did you do a carbon footprint analysis of the various options? Because I think you say very eloquently in the opening pages of the report that waste is not only about landfills, but also about energy, environmental health, local jobs, and reducing carbon dioxide emissions and other greenhouse gases that cause global warming.
We looked at the amount of methane generated at landfills and how that we could impact that. And also we have looked at the amount of trucks that are out on the road. And we do understand and want to point out that if we did have a franchise, indeed we would reduce the amount of fuel used probably by about 30%, which would have an impact on carbon dioxide emissions. But by going to biofuels and some of the other things will also help mitigate that.
My other question at the outset is the last, be it further resolved, would you, Commissioner Saltzman, and Susan, entertain a friendly amendment that we would get an annual report on progress as opposed to waiting till 2010 on meeting the goals specified in Portland Recycle's plan? Thanks. Thank you.
Great.
Other questions? Thank you.
We have the first three people who would like to make some comments are Katie Daly from Recycling Advocates, Mark Edlin from Girding Edlin, and Michael Lures from the DoubleTree Hotel.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
Okay. I'm Katie Daly. I'm from Recycling Advocates. I'm a board member. Recycling Advocates was formed in 1987. It's a citizen-based grassroots group dedicated to creating a sustainable future through efforts to reduce, reuse, and recycle. I was also a member of the commercial stakeholder work group, and I will talk a little bit about my experiences with that group, but I want to overall address the plan. First of all, I want to commend city staff. They did an excellent job of incorporating citizens and incorporating the various interest groups and being part of the process. And the high amount of outreach that they did once they developed the plan, I think, was indicative of the 6,000 comments that they got from the public, mostly in support of the plan. So I want to say commend them on the job they did. Recycling Advocates is fully supportive of the goals of the plan. We would prefer, obviously, a decrease in the waste stream, but we understand right now we're at a situation where we have to level it off. I think that first graph that Bruce put up was showing that we really have a problem that we need to address as far as the amount of waste that we're generating, and support the prevention methodology that is laid out in the plan. I will comment on both the residential and the commercial. I will say supporting the residential plan, there's a lot more to the commercial plan, I think, that we need to address. But we want to make sure to stress that the second part of the residential plan we think is very important in order for it to be successful. So we want to make sure that it isn't just the phase one portion of the plan that gets implemented, but the phase two implementation of the weekly yard debris, the composting, and phasing us back to a every other week system will be necessary for us to meet the goals that we want to residentially. I will say that we have received some comments from people who are already doing a good job that feel the size of the single cart may be a little bit big for their yard, et cetera, and would like to have multiple options if available for their recycling. But I think that's something that you can work out a little bit later. We definitely support the big roll cart and think it will make it a lot easier for people, knowing that they don't have to source separate and will be able to do more recycling. I also want to comment about multi-use residences. I think we need to make sure that in any multi-family residences, we want to make sure that they have the same options as any other residential customer. And I think people want to do the right thing. And right now they're limited because of the limit, because they're under the, more of a commercial scenario. And so a lot of people, I think that part of the plan that brings the multi-residential families into more of regular residence is a good part of the plan. But focusing on the commercial, my experience with the commercial solid waste group was a little bit frustrating. There were a lot of goals that were laid out at the beginning of the process by Commissioner Saltzman and I think the council, and I'll read those goals. It was to reduce fossil fuel use and emissions, to improve human health and safety for workers, to avoid environmental impacts from toxic waste and greenhouse gases, to reduce the per capita waste generation, to garner higher recovery of recyclables, to achieve higher level of participation by both haulers and businesses, and reduce collateral impacts such as noise, traffic, road wear and tear. Unfortunately, I don't think we focused on all of these goals, and we really quickly went into a debate about franchising, and people were very entrenched from the beginning. And it took until the final meeting that we had, and we had 6 2-hour meetings, where there were actually some good ideas that started coming out. Unfortunately, it was too late in the process. I think staff did a really good job of taking what was there. But I will say that we were excited to see one of the options being a full franchise system for the commercial sector. And we will still support the plan if it is clear that in the future, if the commercial side, if businesses are not meeting the 75% goal, that we will move to a franchise system. I will say that a franchise system addresses all of these goals, and I'm not sure that the recommendations that are in place to keep the status quo, but with more enforcement, et cetera, addresses everything, especially the reduced collateral impacts such as noise, traffic, road wear and tear. It was mentioned that we could reduce, I think, the fuel consumption by going to a franchise system by up to 30%. Well, that's because of the efficiencies of a franchise system, which impact a lot of these other collateral impacts, such as, you know, not having four different haulers service one corner in the middle of the night like they do. Northwest Portland, I know, has a lot of complaints that come out of the amount of garbage haulers that service that area. And nothing in the plan is going to necessarily change that. But overall, I understand the concerns that the business community has on trying to keep a free market system. But I think it's imperative, if we do stick to that system, that we do fully support and fund the enforcement mechanism. The way it works right now, there is no incentive for the haulers to do any of the enforcement because they want to keep their customers. It's a free system, and they don't want to lose the customers they have. The city doesn't have the staff right now to do the level of monitoring enforcement to be able to keep the recycling levels up. And as Bruce said, you know, that's a really key piece of the plan to be able to make sure that we staff that side. We get a lot of complaints about a number of large institutions. The Rose Garden, for one, was a complaint that we received. And we don't, you know, we're a non-staffed small grassroots group, don't have the opportunity to do the research. That's something that the city should be doing, researching complaints about the lack of recycling facilities, especially in public facilities. And right now, I don't think that staff necessarily has the ability to do that. So we will support the plan as recommended, but would like to make sure that we do look at going to a franchise system if the goals that are laid out are not being met, and that we make sure that we fully fund it and staff the enforcement side of the equation. Thank you.
Mark Aidlin, 1120 Northwest Cooch Street, Portland, Oregon. Like, thank you for bringing this topic to City Council, the forefront for our city. As you know, we're a local-based company here in Portland. We have a stated goal of trying to create buildings that generate more energy than they consume and consume more trash than they produce over the next 5 years. We really think recycling and sustainability is a big part of this. You might call our goal somewhat of recycling on steroids. While we've been frustrated that the marketplace has not necessarily compensated us for our efforts in sustainability, we think it is the future. We think this is a space that our city, our state, and our region should absolutely own and show the way nationally and internationally as to how to do it. We believe that recycling is a relatively easy step. We view it as low-hanging fruit, and we think it's relatively simple to move forward with it. Some of the things that we've done with our projects and ourselves and our company is to recycle roughly 95% of our construction debris at our waste sites. We've been doing that for years. We use agrofiber and other recycled products in the construction of our cabinetry and other parts of our projects. In our office, we've eliminated our trash cans. We have a young woman that's about 26 that came up with that idea. sound like a wacky idea, but sound like fun, so we went ahead and did it. So now you either recycle it or you pack it home, and they're not packing much home. We've eliminated bottled water. A lot of people come to our office, a lot of people drink water. Portland's got pretty good water coming from Bull Run. That's another simple step. It's been very easy to do. Well, I think there are many in our industry that are still naysayers and think that perhaps at best we're wacky or a bit unorthodox in how we approach our business. We think all this has been good for our business, our investors, our employees, and perhaps most importantly for our community. Based on our experience, the recycling waste prevention goals and the Portland Recycles Plan are not only easy and achievable, but they also provide real opportunities for growth. We really see this as an economic development strategy that we should be doing here in Portland and take the lead, literally take the lead nationally, internationally, and export this expertise elsewhere. This type of initiative, we believe, will foster business growth and reinforce Portland as a nexus for a sustainable industry. As one other Oregonian might say, it's time to just do it. Thank you.
My name is Michael Lewis. I'm the Director of Operations and the Environmental Steward at the DoubleTree Hotel and Executive Meeting Center, Portland Lloyd Center. And this has been an important topic for us. We've gained a great deal of, I think, positive notoriety for many of the accomplishments and initiatives that we've undertaken, which were the direct result of the very capable support and expertise that we got from the Office of Sustainable Development. We are big fans of everybody there. I communicate with them, collection of them weekly, I would say, to try and get some additional support. We have, we were one of the very first businesses to compost. You were there, Commissioner Saltzman. Thank you very much to help scrape some of our plates and show how easy composting can work. We're now up to 17 tons a month in June that we were able to compost, which is a significant opportunity for us to reduce our total waste stream and help us get that much closer to our eventual goal of being a zero waste business. We were able to partner with Portland State University, as a number of other hotels were, to try and innovate an in-room recycling program. We've taken that to the next step and now have a much more enhanced receptacle and signage program. We're seeing direct results from that. We were proud to have been received a Blue Works recognition from the city, and we're both humbled and proud to have been recognized by the two of you to receive the best award earlier this year for a number of our sustainable practices. So this is a big deal for us, and it's something that we have identified as important to success for our business. It's important to our customers. We are only now, and just over the last year or so, beginning to understand more and more the incredible audience of people who have this as a priority for them. So our core audience, our guests, are telling us that this is important to them. The broader array of sustainable initiatives and recycling is, of course, a huge part of that. So we see it as something that's been integral to the successes that we've had. We've enjoyed cost benefits from it. It's not without its challenges, and this particular measure is not without its without its issues, but we recognize that it's an inevitable thing, and we want to be leaders in trying to identify those efficiencies that are required. And so we'll be leaning, I'm sure, on our partners there at the Office of Sustainable Development to help us realize those improved goals. I will say was identified by an organization called Green Seal, which we were proud to have been recognized by Green Seal as a Green Seal certified property last January now. And because we were the first property in Oregon to have met those criteria, they have and have been outspoken proponents of those measurements. They have asked us to try and encourage other hotels to try to identify similar actions on the city of Chicago now. Mayor Daley's office contacted me personally to try and be a resource for their hotels. They now have, there are 15 hotels that are fast-tracked to be Green Seal certified. This is anticipation of the Green Build Conference. And for I share this because there's clearly a big expectation on businesses to try and do their part. I'd like to use Chicago as an example of what can happen when the city council gets behind an effort like this and really champions to try and rally around businesses and share with them, treat it more as a partnership to try and identify improved goals as it relates to recycling or sustainable efforts, whatever. We have a truly unique opportunity, being identified as the most sustainable city in the nation. It would be such a shame to lose that title or to lose that recognition to a city like Chicago who does not have the track record that Portland does. So we understand that when a guest comes to Portland, they expect to have a hotel that reflects Portland's sensibilities. With conserving natural resources important to us. We continue to try and strive to do that. We think we want to try and be a champion for other hotels to do that as well.
But we have one other invited panel, and that is I think Ethan Dunham from the Small Business Advisory Council. Is Tracy Marks here from Portland Business Alliance? And then somebody from the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. That would be Brian Heiberg.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman, I'm Ethan Dunham, 1822 Northeast Hancock. And Commissioner Stan's wonderful neighborhood of Irvington. I represent the Small Business Advisory Council this morning. We're a group of 23 small business owners who then represent a larger, almost nearly 40,000 member small business group in this vibrant city of Portland. I have a prepared statement that you have been given too. I'll go ahead and read some of it for the record. The Small Business Advisory Council scrutinizes any new legislation by assessing whether it impacts job creation, job retention, or job expansion. We maintain sustainability as a primary plank on our action platform. Sustainability is a mark of efficiency when the private sector is brought into the dialogue and listened to, especially when costs are addressed. Historically, a light regulatory touch by government, if needed at all, is what is required for various industries when health and safety are at issue. Rate setting, franchising, and city control monopolies have proven disastrous. The headlines abound with cities and nations that do not heed the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson in Self-Reliance, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. We support the Office of Sustainable Development Option, which maintains the current competitive system. We believe that business has shown its willingness to support the department's goals by exceeding the current requirements. The approach should look to innovation and creative business communities to identify and implement the strategies to increase voluntary recycling from 60 to 75% and spur innovation for which Portland is famous. Unfortunately, the second option, which has the city setting rates, and the third option, which assigns hauler territories while also setting rates, will both continue the cycle of government intervention rather than foster a government and business partnership. There are powerful alternatives, and we embrace the department as a facilitator in the pursuit of those alternatives. It's our intention to leverage the work of the department and incorporate their key data into our outreach efforts. Looking at changes as to how recycling will impact a business's bottom line, create incentives to innovate, allow businesses to negotiate frequency and price of pickup, and inviting large employers in sustainable industries to Portland that focus on reducing waste remain the best ways our city can increase sustainability globally, not just locally, by exporting those innovations. Price controls are a throwback to the early 20th century and never have worked for the masses unless they're instituted in a supported monopoly or oligopoly. Portland is known to look forward, not backward, for solutions. The SBA supports an innovative approach that diligently promotes the following, only several bullet points: a leading-edge education and voluntary business engagement campaign, soliciting engineering studies and changes on human factor and psychological dynamics and recycling, a Get Out the Recycling program where the Office of Sustainable Development canvasses all office buildings with paper recycling boxes and instructions, perhaps coordinating a leveraged effort with many of the nonprofits and government agencies already committed to increasing awareness of sustainability. Shredding fairs, where mobile shredders can go to neighborhoods and business districts quarterly. Biohazards fairs, such as those in Washington County, where businesses and homeowners and small businesses can dispose of noxious waste. We can improve upon these fairs, we think, by leveraging the opportunity to educate. Incentives for the innovation community to create vertical markets for food composting, biofuel creation, smart buildings, and transportation. Getting sustainable industries already headquartered here to stay here and then leverage those laboratories of problem solving for where innovative and creative classes are known. and then re-examine our own hauling policies and practices that actually promote trash production rather than encourage and reward recycling efforts. The Small Business Advisory Council will continue to commit our time, talent, and treasure to these efforts and stands ready to further elevate sustainable industries. We welcome the opportunity to create bridges between the business community and promote the necessary innovation and collaboration that can reinvent the way Portland relates to trash collection industry and process. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Tracy Marks. I'm the General Manager of the Portland Hilton, also the current Chair of Oregon Lodging Association. So today I have my hotel hat on. I also sit on PURB, so I'm familiar with this topic pretty extensively. The Hilton Portland is one of two Green Seal certified hotels here in Portland, and actually I think in the state. That's something we're very proud of. We think that Portland, okay, also can be one of the leaders, as was said earlier by a couple of the people who have testified, in green initiatives. We do have some concerns about mandating them. Now, we were one of the first to compost in the city. We spent $8,000 or $10,000 on equipment because food garbage is very heavy, and we don't want to injure any of our team members. And we're spending an additional $10,000 a month, okay, to haul all of our composting out. In a similar situation 5 years ago in San Francisco, the San Francisco city government actually incented all of the businesses, okay, to get on board with the program. In addition to monetary incentives, they also had a terrific training program where people came in to my hotel in San Francisco, multilingual trainers, worked with all of the people, okay, in the back of the kitchens where the food garbage is generated, and helped us initiate the program. So I would ask that, as opposed to mandates, that we would look at a more voluntary system. And I think there are many, many great examples in the city who are doing this already. And I would ask the city to, okay, increase their efforts, okay, to entice businesses to get on board, particularly for many of the smaller businesses. As this gentleman has just pointed out, it is a financial burden for them. They might not be able to spend $20,000 a year as we have to be able to, okay, administer this program. So we need to incent people. We need to encourage them to participate. And I also would be remiss if I didn't applaud Commissioner Saltzman's efforts to, okay, look at the franchising. Okay, again, we appreciate it. We think where there's no competition, all right, we'll end up with a complacent marketplace. So we appreciate your looking at that again. And in closing, I'd like to say that setting overall recycling goals and businesses, okay, is great, but I think that mandating them and not incenting businesses is going to be difficult for all of us to achieve our goals. That's all I have. Thank you.
Could I ask a question there?
Sure. So what is the, how is the Seattle model work? They don't, San Francisco model. They don't have mandates?
It's just anything? No, they didn't have mandates. Actually, how this started really in San Francisco, the landfills are all full, and they're actually hauling all of the garbage all the way out to Vacaville. If you know the area well, it's 50 miles away. And so because of that, the rates went up 37%. Okay, from the haulers. So we immediately said, we weren't Green Seal at the time, but we were good business people. We said, well, we're not going to be able to sustain a 37% increase in our hauling. So what can we do to fix it? We were already had an aggressive recycling program in place, but we were not composting. So we started composting. The city incented the composting. And in fact, every scrap of food that we were able to get out of our compactor, and we had a 40-yard compactor that we picked up every day, we put in a 3-yard bin, and the city, okay, actually paid the haulers to take that away. We went from a daily pickup of a 40-yard bin, which is the size of a tractor trailer, to twice a week. From 7 pickups a week, every pickup was $1,100 plus the weight that's in the container, okay, down to 2 pickups a week. So we were able to reduce, okay, our removal expense and also be a good corporate citizen by keeping it out of the landfills. And what they did there is they actually took all of the waste from all of the businesses and took it out to actually have it reprocessed into fertilizer and turn around and sold it to the farmers. So I think there's some pieces missing here.
So there's no mandate in San Francisco?
No.
No mandated amount of recycling?
No, sir. Okay. Strictly a 37% increase in haulers. That got everybody's attention very quickly.
Thank you.
All right.
Good evening or afternoon. I'm Brian Heiberg. I'm actually wearing two hats today. David White is our representative for the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to be here today. So I wanted to make some comments on his behalf. Regarding the residential Portland recycle plans, our members generally support the move to roller carts. We believe this will increase the volume and reduce the number of work-related injuries with the roller cart implementation. However, we do have some concerns about the projected cost of $2.60, as that being the correct number. We'll continue to analyze the true cost of this service and look forward to continued conversations about how to meet the sustainable goals of the Portland Recycle Plan. On the commercial side, our members were split regarding the commercial recycle plan, so therefore our association has taken a policy of not having a position. Now I'd like to put on my hat for hybrid garbage and recycling. I'm speaking personally, not for the association or any other haulers. Unfortunately, the plan that's put forward for the commercial side ignores some of the very important goals that the City Council laid out in Resolution 36423. A number of those goals were to maximize efficiency, improve worker safety, improve the performance and long-term sustainability of the solid waste and recycling system. This proposal does not address those goals. The Solid Waste Management System briefing report also states that the competitive system, quote, does not give adequate incentives to either businesses or haulers to reduce garbage or recycle more waste and is inequitable to the small businesses. This proposal just does more of the same, but with potential fines. Last year, our company, Hybrid Garbage and Recycling, paid the City of Portland over $33,000 in commercial permit fees. Under this proposal, you're going to require haulers to provide additional services, purchase more expensive products and equipment, and raise our commercial permit fee to pay for all the additional staff and resources. Yet you've provided us no rate setting to carry out these expensive public policy mandates. Nor do we have an estimate as to the additional cost of these unfunded mandates. One of your goals was to improve worker safety. The U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics has issued its annual report on the 10 most dangerous jobs in America, and refuse and recycling material collectors was listed as number fifth, the most dangerous. This plan does nothing to address worker safety. Another goal was to reduce noise. The Noise Review Board in September 8, 2004 executive summary states, quote, the board respectfully recommends that the City Council implement a commercial franchise system for recycling and garbage collection. The Noise Review Board learned that all of the communities surrounding the City of Portland use a commercial franchise system, as do many major cities in other states, I think San Francisco being one of them. The idea is not unusual and should not be regarded as unfriendly to business, since the model is used throughout Oregon and is common elsewhere. Then let's talk about pollution and fuel usage. Our company alone used over 57,000 gallons of fuel in our operation last year alone. This proposal does nothing to reduce that. In fact, it's going to increase our fuel usage with the organics. We'll be putting another truck out on the road running all over Portland to pick up organics inefficiently. Under this proposal, let's just look at one intersection. You have four different businesses on four different corners, and each of those businesses have a different garbage company. You have four garbage trucks coming, four cardboard trucks, four multi-material recycling trucks, possibly four yard debris trucks or organic trucks. That's 16 trucks coming 16 times, day or night, on different days. Just how sustainable is this system? The city's own economists estimated a 30% reduction in miles traveled and an overall 6% savings with a franchise collection system. What Portland needs is you, our elected officials, to provide the critical leadership to make sure we meet our sustainable goals and make Portland a better place to live. A franchise collection system does this. This proposal is not sustainable and does not meet the goals you set out in your resolution in February of 2005. I urge you to send this commercial recycle plan back to OSD and instruct the office to bring back forward a franchise proposal that will actually meet the goals, that meets the needs of the businesses, the residents, as well as achieve the sustainable goals of the city of Portland. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
That completes the invited testimony.
We have a sign-up sheet.
We do. We have 8 people signed up.
Okay. Please call the first 3. Okay.
Come up 3 at a time. We have Bill Perry, Jeff Murray, and Bruce Anderson. They'll be followed by Denise Folan, Jerry Powell, and Paige Stockwell.
Thanks for being here this morning, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and if you can keep your remarks brief, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor Potter, members of the council. My name is Bill Perry. I'm with the Oregon Restaurant Association, and I want to say that the policy here is something that I think most of our membership supports. I think as we've seen with the green hotels and some of the others, it's become a marketing issue, I think, for a lot of members. I would also say that I've heard from several of my members that the office has made the system work a lot better, being able to take napkins and some of the other things, so it makes the system work better. The issue that we have is really with the implementation as you increase those percentages, just because of the waste. Other policies are set in place, they're going to start to get into conflict. Obviously, with your containers in the right-of-way, we've reduced the amount of containers in Portland, and it's really from a space perspective, hard to add more containers. There are also some of our members who have statewide programs don't have them in all their restaurants in Portland, because there are also neighborhood agreements that basically stipulate that you cannot add containers. The other thing that relates to food waste is as you get high volumes of food waste in these hot temperatures in the summer, they can become rather odorous. And so the regular pickup has to be a key component. And the only other aspect that I would say as we move forward and looking for increasing the percentage is there are several restaurants where the employees or the restaurants themselves don't dispose of waste. I talk about quick service, commissary, some of those things, like in the bottom of Pioneer Square, where the consumers are actually disposing of a percentage of the food waste. So, you know, as those percentages get higher, we're going to start to run into conflict with other policies. But so as we move forward, I just ask that you consider those, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Murray, and I am a resident of Portland. However, today I'm here on behalf of Far West Fibers. I am Vice President of Far West Fibers. Far West Fibers handles a substantial percentage of the curbside recyclables collected in the city of Portland. And I'm here today in support of the city of Portland moving to roll carts for the collection of curbside recyclables, and that is my focus of my talk this morning. 5 years ago, Far West was adamantly against roll carts. We had a fear of the carts. We spent a great deal of time researching curbside programs in other parts of the country, in particular in California. And in the late 90s and early 2000s, a lot of the programs in California moved from no curbside program, no yard debris program, and a 90-gallon cart for garbage to a 90-gallon cart for recyclables, 90-gallon cart for yard debris, and a 35-gallon cart for garbage. And so you can imagine that big quantum leap. You know, the programs really suffered. There are good programs in California, I want to emphasize that, but there are a number of them that struggle, not just in California. So we really had a fear as a processor of what could happen moving from open bins where haulers could see the material to roll carts. In the past few years, we actually decided to experiment with some haulers down in Salem and Marion County, and we agreed so long as they expanded their education program at the curb, we would process their curbside material collected in roll carts. We've had great success with it. Since then, we have now moved to processing over 3,500 tons a month of curbside material that's collected in roll carts. Of that, less than 4% is what we call residual or material that ends up in the landfill. We're very proud of that. The reason why that works is constant communication between ourselves, the collector, the local jurisdiction, and they're running good solid outreach programs to educate the public on an ongoing basis. Education as we move into roll carts becomes the absolute essential for a successful curbside program. We recently analyzed some material out of the Sherwood Tigard area that recently had moved to roll carts. We analyzed 13 routes, which was basically 60 tons of material. Of the 60 tons of material, less than 0.7% was what you could categorize as garbage. There were other materials that shouldn't have been in there that was recyclable to be pulled out. Overall, of that material, we were only forced to landfill 3.5% of material that was non-recoverable. In summary, I'd like to say that Far West strongly supports the city's program of moving collection of recyclables for road carts. We expect to see a higher level of recovery, ease for the customer, less injuries for the haulers, that's paramount, cleaner streets on windy days, and a drier material that we were able to sort and process. That's one big challenge in Oregon. It periodically rains here, as you well know. We probably have 2 dry months and 10 wet months. Moving the roll carts, we've found, allows our system to work much better. We have a much higher recovery rate of the material we receive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. For the record, Bruce Anderson, representing the Northwest Food Processors Association. NWFPA was organized in 1914 and represents the food processing industry of Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And in Oregon, the industry employs about 17,000 employees and is the third largest manufacturing sector. And we've been working the past several years to guide the industry back after years of economic downturns and that have severely hurt this industry. And our main goal is to strengthen the food processing industry here in the Northwest to be globally competitive with other countries and regions across the U.S. And that's pretty much the main reason why I'm here today, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. We've got a few issues and concerns to bring to your attention. First thing I would suggest, and I would probably echo what Mr. Marks from the Hilton said. We would suggest and request that the city continue working with businesses from an educational point and building on the work that's being that has been done rather than imposing a mandated system. I just don't think that the time period that's been allowed for that educational process has been given enough time to work, and so we would hope that that could continue to work forward before we go down the road of mandating this. There have been some options available that some of your staff work has actually shown, but not all food processors or food manufacturers are able to take advantage of them. Educational process first could go a long way to addressing a lot of the issues we believe are raising the Portland Recycles proposal. Food processors do try to recycle waste from their operations where they can. There are some issues and concerns that we do have. I wanted to just briefly mention those. Definition of food scraps. That's a real broad term, and I'm not sure how it applies to food manufacturing generally and individual sectors of food processing specifically. Secondly, a market for the waste, for the food waste. We're concerned about imposing a mandated food waste recycling system, which will be a new cost, without a defined market that is for the product. We don't believe that's been developed far enough. We're uncertain of also the effectiveness of the existing composting system and then adding to that. Costs are another big factor for food processors. They have a great difficulty in absorbing increased costs given the typical profit margins in this industry. The plan does not take into consideration the ability of a food processor or a food manufacturer to implement the new mandated system. Food processors just don't have the ability to increase their prices like a lot of other lines of businesses do to accommodate increased costs. And then finally, we would just express some concern about the base of businesses that were sought after in the development of the policy. Just don't think it was quite broad enough, and specifically in food manufacturing or food processing, that was appeared to be a bit limited, shall we say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next three are Denise Folan, Jerry Powell, and Paige Stockwell. Sorry. They'll be followed by Jeannie Roy, David McMahon, and Valerie Hill.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record and try to keep your remarks as brief as possible.
Hi, I'm Denise Folan. I'm with Cedar Grove Composting. We are the current composters of the food waste from the Portland area. We haul it from the Metro Central Station. They're on 61st Street. And we are very supportive of Portland's goals for their increased recycling. And I'm available for questions.
Hello, my name is Jerry Powell. I'm a resident of the Alameda neighborhood, and I'm also a Portland businessman. And as a businessman, I'm here in support of the proposal. I again point out, as Mark Edelin, Doubletree, Hilton, and others have said to you, it won't affect me a bit. With the excellent work of my staff and, ironically, Heiberg Garbage and Recycling, I'm easily passing the requirements that you are going to have at the cost of pennies per day. So as a businessman, I support that. You might be interested, though, what I do for a business. For the last 26 years, I've edited the only magazine focusing on municipal waste recycling in North America. In other words, I've written about what Portland, Metro, and many other communities have done over the last quarter of a century. And I'm here to suggest to you, this isn't groundbreaking, where you're headed in this. It's wonderful, it's sustainable, but it's not groundbreaking. Do you know that recycling is mandatory statewide in New Jersey, that the majority of Pennsylvania programs are mandatory, the great number of Connecticut, Massachusetts, and elsewhere? So I encourage you to go forth with this. I support the Recycles Plan. Thank you.
Mayor, commissioners, my name is Paige Stockwell. I live at 2039 Northwest Irving Street. I live in a so-called mixed-use neighborhood. On my street, between Northwest 18th and Northwest 21st Avenues, there are four single-family homes, seven multifamily condo apartment buildings, and four businesses or institutions. As far as I can tell, each of the 11 commercial customers is served by a different hauler, and in some cases by several different haulers. This means up to 15 garbage trucks a day passing up and down the street, some for pickups on my street and some traveling between stops elsewhere in the neighborhood. In early 2005, I testified before City Council in connection with a garbage franchise proposal by the Noise Review Board. A vote was promised within 3 months. Well, here we are in mid-2007. The focus is now on recycling, not noise control. The helter-skelter collection system with its accompanying noise, traffic, and exhaust emissions is still with us. The case for franchising now is even more compelling than it was 2.5 years ago. The noise continues. Complaints have diminished because there has really been no progress. As indicated by the recycling plan before us, franchising is the most efficient way to enforce recycling targets and regulations. Pollution has become worse, and the need to reduce dependence on fossil fuels have become even more important. Along my street, a franchise would reduce the number of trips by as much as 50%. A flat reduction in mileage has a much greater impact than a 20% biofuel requirement, which still produces emissions. A franchise system is in place for single and multifamily residences of 4 units or fewer. It has been with us since 1992. It works well. It achieves the greatest recycling success rate. Virtually every other municipality in the state and indeed across the country has some kind of franchise or publicly administered system. Franchising is an elegant solution to many of our problems. So why don't we have a franchising system here in Portland? According to the documents in front of us, haulers generally support a well-administered franchising system under which they can earn a reasonable rate of return. Residents support a franchise system. The only ones who don't support such a system are businesses and owners of multifamily structures. Well, what a surprise. They enjoy lower rates but don't have to live with the noise, the stench, and the traffic. Our Office of Sustainable Development does not support a franchise system because setting franchises, I quote from the Oregonian, setting franchises is a huge negotiating process, so Commissioner Saltzman decided against that option. This really doesn't sound like the city that works to me. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a question for Ms. Folan.
Yes.
I think we've been operating on the expectation that Cedar Grove is committed to building a Portland food composting facility if our tonnage gets up to a sufficient level. Is that still the correct assumption?
Yes. We've been looking for suitable sites for the last 3 years, and part of that is not having the tonnage that would be in support of a system of the size. We're looking at two types of scenarios. One would be a temporary system that we would need to have a tonnage that would guarantee around 20,000 tons. And a more permanent system would require something with a longer-term guarantee or contract and something that would support anywhere from 40,000 to 80,000 tons per year.
So you're still looking for sites?
We've actively been looking, yes. And we're in negotiations with two different places for the temporary scenario I mentioned first.
And roughly how many jobs are associated with a food compost?
Actually, our system is very low labor just because of the way the technology is developed. So for that system alone, it probably would be less than five people for the 20,000-ton facility.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
The last three who signed up are Jeannie Roy, David McMahon, and Valerie Hill.
Thanks for being here, folks. Please state your name when you speak, and if you can keep your remarks brief, we'd appreciate it.
I'm Jean Roy. I've been an advocate of better recycling systems for the city for over 20 years. I'm the founder of Recycling Advocates and the Oregon Natural Step Network, and the co-founder of the Northwest Earth Institute and the Center for Earth Leadership. In Portland, we have a unique free competitive hauling system that's inhibited our ability to maximize resource and energy savings from recycling. In 1990, Commissioner Blumenauer franchised the residential system, but no commissioner has been brave enough to franchise the commercial system because of opposition from large businesses. As a result, the recycling rate has remained essentially flat for the last 5 years. I had thought that this would be the time council would bite the bullet because of the resolution you passed last summer setting the 75% recovery goal. I don't think anyone in the recycling community believes that this goal can be accomplished under the current unregulated system. Yet the recommendation before you is to wait 2.5 more years before you consider further regulation. There's another reason for my disappointment in this recommendation. The part of the plan I most strongly support is adding food scraps to residential collection. 29% of what's going to the landfill currently is compostable. And for sustainability, it's essential that this food and food contaminant paper not go to the landfill to reduce methane emissions and also to replenish the soil. But adding this service to households is contingent upon a local processing facility, and a local processing facility is contingent upon greater tonnage through the commercial program. In other words, we need more businesses to be separating their food for collection. So if this council chooses not to set rates for the commercial haulers so that they have an incentive to offer better services, then I support this compromise before you. But I do think that you should direct the OSD to strengthen the plan to require rate setting or franchising if the 68% goal is not reached by 2010, rather than just consider it. I also wanted to mention that I've been in communication with seven small businesses who take leadership, like Doubletree and Gerding Edlin. They are supportive of further regulation. Some of them would have been here if we had had earlier notice. We didn't get the recommendations until 2 days ago.
My name is David McMahon. I'm with Cloudburst Recycling. We've been providing recycling and garbage collection for 32 years in Portland. I want to state, first of all, that I support all of the goals as outlined in the initial resolution, which brought forth this effort to revise the solid waste and recycling system. First, I'd like to talk about the commercial portion of the recommendations. As with all things in life and politics, the choice is a matter of priorities. The option of franchising solid waste and recycling services is by far the most effective and least costly way of accomplishing the city's 75% recycling goal. That approach allows services to be delivered in the least cost manner, allows the city to structure rates in a way to give businesses positive incentives to recycle more, allows haulers to be fairly compensated for providing new recycling services, and allows simple and effective monitoring of the system. Although OSD never did a serious economic assessment, in my opinion, of commercial franchising, even the thumbnail evaluation it did projected a 6 to 10% cost reduction in delivering services. I think it would be higher. Perhaps more important, though, the franchise system would allow would allow major improvements with regards to sustainability goals. Because franchises would assign a single hauler to each service district, there would be fewer garbage and recycling trucks on the road. Trucks would consume less fuel, produce fewer emissions, and less noise. There would be less traffic congestion, wear on public infrastructure, and there would be improved public safety. The city's brief analysis suggested that these reductions would be on the order of 30%. My opinion is they would be much higher than that. That certainly would be the case for my company. In addition, all customers would enjoy rate equity, with customers paying the same rates for the same level of service. Under the current system, there are great disparities. All Portland's neighboring communities operate with franchising systems, and customer satisfaction is extremely high. The option endorsed by the commissioner's office would require haulers to use B20. This would reduce air emissions by about 12%, but would not reduce fuel consumption. And this does not compare well with the approximately 40% reduction resulting from the use of B20 in a franchise system. Moreover, none of the sustainability goals would be addressed at all. If you choose to support the recommended plan, you choose these priorities: allow Portland's businesses to choose their waste hauling service, allow large waste generators to negotiate special rates for hauling services, and support the general outlook that of the light touch in government. But you do not support the sustainability goals. My time is running down. On the downside, you rely on mandates and enforcement, costly approach. I'd like a moment, if I could, to talk about the residential recycling program. I realize I'm now over.
How long will you take, sir?
A minute.
How about a half a minute?
What are your thoughts on the residential?
I generally
what are your
support
thoughts on the residential recycling program.
The move to roll carts will be good within yard debris, especially with the addition of food waste. The concern I have is this: it's a major investment on the part of haulers. My company would have to spend about $350,000 for roll carts, and the city is currently floating advancing a proposal to cut the rate of return in residential franchisees. This is a big collision that needs to be watched out for.
Thank you.
My name is Valerie Gruder Hill. I'm a resident of Northeast Portland. I represent Gruder Sanitary Service. Our company has been in operation since 1951. We're a family company. My parents started the company. We service 3,500 residential customers. We're proud of our company. And we're proud of the waste haulers here and the recyclers in the city of Portland. I think they've all done an excellent job. They've carried out all the recommendations from the different bureaus that we've operated under. We, as a company, recycled by reuse before recycling was actually popular, since we started in 1951. We do have a few concerns. Our company and our customers are concerned about the space that the two additional roll carts are going to take. We service an area that's densely populated and in a congested area. It's the Hawthorne area. So we have some concerns, as the first speaker addressed, about the size of the equipment that are going to be used by residents to, you know, place out their garbage and their recycling and their yard debris. We will support whatever recommendations the council does recommend for the recycling and garbage programs. We are concerned about the time that you give the companies to acquire the equipment. We've been advised that 18 to 24 months is a realistic time to consider for implementing this type of service, getting the equipment in place. And a final note, as David McMahon pointed out in his last comments, we are concerned about the cost of service. My father was famous for saying there's no free lunch. There is no free lunch. If you're offering some type of service, whether it be recycling or garbage, there are costs definitely associated with that. So I hope you will keep that in mind when you're setting rates for garbage and recycling. Thank you.
That's all who signed up.
If the council wishes, Susan, Bruce, and Babe could come up and respond or answer questions.
Please come forward.
So maybe you could respond to some of the testifiers who suggested that you guys didn't think there was enough evidence or information to support a franchise system.